Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance, or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this week's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you could join us today. I think you're going to enjoy today's show. It's going to be different in terms of the topics that we cover compared to our norm. I'm privileged to have a guest today that's focused on the cybersecurity space, and he's not the kind of guy that will be found at Best Buy in the Geek Squad department. He's much, much higher end, much, much higher certified, and has some of the most important constituency clients in the U.S. Without being specific, he'd have to kill me if I knew. But any event, I'm going to introduce him as our cybersecurity expert. His name is Wen Nguyen. Wen, glad to have you here today.
Hi, Nathan. Thank you. It's an honor to be here. It's a privilege to be here.
Okay. Well, you're right about that, but I'm not going to take credit. Wen has spent the better part of a decade now fortifying sensitive classified networks and protecting data cyber threats. From designing robust security protocols to conducting detailed risk assessments, always ahead of the latest trends and technologies in cybersecurity. And I've known Wen literally since the early 80s. I hate to think about how long it's been, because it shows you how old we both are. And in any event, the reason I had Wen, or the reason he's here, is because we got to talking. I just got back in town this past week, and Wen and I had breakfast yesterday, and we were talking about the CrowdStrike cyber. I'm not going to call it a breach. It was more of a faux pas, really, when you understand what happened. But it got me to thinking that, you know, CrowdStrike is, at my level, it's important because it reminds us just how fragile our systems are that we rely on daily. And, of course, here in Houston, we've kind of had some recent reminders of that on the electrical front. And, you know, as I was telling one of my clients yesterday, you know, I don't know how you Houstonians have tolerated some of the stuff that's happened, I guess, since late May, right? When did we have the flash floods?
We have, I believe in,
around May. Late May?
Yes, late May.
So, and by the way, before I go on, I just want to let the listeners know that the IRS has finally come out with our updated disaster relief. We had, because of the May flash floods, we had until November 1st to file any return that had been due from roughly late May up through November 1st. And then because of Beryl and the issues associated with not having our infrastructure, our electricity, now we have until, I believe it's February, I think it's February 25th. I don't have it in front of me. It's in February of 2025. So we've got time to catch up and deal with the fact that maybe a lot of CPA systems were affected. I know in our case, the data center that hosts our tax software, which is located in, I think it's Delhi or New Delhi, India, or maybe it's Mumbai. I can't remember. I think they've got operations or data centers in both cities. And the guys that we host with are just, the only word I can think of is spectacular. And I tell you, I've never made a phone call, whether I was calling at 2 in the morning or 2 in the afternoon that didn't get answered by the second or third ring, and they don't just take your name and number and, oh, what's your problem? No, they stay on the phone and fix it. I mean, it's amazing the quality of service that we get from that group. So you might expect they were all over the CrowdStrike issue, and they were. And we weren't down. I mean, we were down a bit, but it was more a convenience thing than a long-term worry. And I guess I'm glad I wasn't in Houston at the time, because the only thing more miserable, having your internet connection interrupted or being down, is not having your air conditioning. So being, you know, without data versus sweating and being without data, those are two different worlds in my book. But I'll tell you, just as an aside, you know, this is a reason that you buy cellular models of iPads and any other computer that you use, so that theoretically you've got two shots at it. And if I'm not mistaken, T-Mobile stayed up. Did they not win, or do you remember all that?
Well, they stay on and off. It depends where you are, because it depends on the tower where you are. If you can have the strongest strongest signal, but if their station are down, you're down.
Somewhere down the line.
There's some down,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I was fortunate enough to live in the area that near the police station and hospital. So most of my power are up, but my internet was up and down.
Yeah.
So up to the point that it's useless. I cannot use it.
Well, I know at my two properties in San Antonio, our two boutique hotels, we were down. We had no impact of the storm, but there was some pole here in Houston, according to Spectrum, and who really knows, right? Some pole was affected here. And that caused us to be down in San Antonio, but our power never went down. And it's interesting how even within the little enclave that we're in the King William Historic District there, just out of downtown, maybe I think we're 6 blocks from the convention center. And it's the politically connected, you know, these are expensive homes. Mr. Butt of the HEB dynasty lives around the corner from us. And, you know, I don't know if we've just gotten, you know, maybe we've gotten a hardened infrastructure in that area, but we really never go down. I mean, not for any length of time, not for a day. I mean, not even for a full day, which all around us, in San Antonio, they'll have areas that are down, but I don't know. I've never seen it where we were down for what? Houston, I know I had friends or associates that had offices or homes without power for, I believe, 11 or 12 days in some cases. And I don't know. There may still be areas that are down. I'm not sure. I've lost track. I just made sure that the area I was going to be staying in when I was coming back this past week had power, because that's the last thing I wanted to do. But fortunately, I can drive over to San Antonio when I need to. In any event, so in light of CrowdStrike, I wanted, and as Wynn and I were talking yesterday, I thought, you know, this whole cybersecurity area it hasn't just become a thing, it's been a thing. And I know that most of us have our heads in the sand, and whether you're working from home, which a lot of people are these days, even now, or you've got a small company and, you know, your office is wherever here in the Houston area, you need to be aware. And it's not just about what happened with CrowdStrike. You need to be aware of best practices and hardware options. And I'm not going to get as deep as configuration options, but Win-Win is the guy to explain to us what we all need to do. And I've asked him to try to keep it at a level where it piques your curiosity, or maybe identifies for you what to be aware of. And I think if his schedule permits, I'm going to ask him to come on at least weekly and join me here on the air, and we'll try to delve into some of these topics. I know just enough to be dangerous. I did used to have a company that we sold mid-market accounting software and set up networks. In fact, WinWin used to do some work for us on that front. But I never was savvy in the networking space. I sold it, and I, you know, took calls from customers to try to feed them into our tech support group. But anyway, Wynn, go ahead. I'm going to turn it over to you to tell us what we're going to talk about today, and then I'm going to let you go, and I'll try to maybe interrupt you with some questions if they occur.
Sure. Thank you, Nathan, for the opportunity today, and thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Today, is the topic we're going to talk about is the CrowdStrike and the event that brought down, and I have to say, this is the biggest ever in history of United States that made an impact around the world as well. So if you use the CrowdStrike endpoint, but before we go any further, let me explain to you what CrowdStrike is.
Hey, Wynn, mm-hmm. You know what? I just realized we're on our first break here. Mm-hmm. So let's hold that thought. And you said something that I want to clarify. CrowdStrike endpoint, end, E-N-D, right? P-O-I-N-T is a product that CrowdStrike provides that a lot of networks utilize, correct?
That's like antivirus, basically.
Okay.
In a layman's term, is antivirus.
Okay, so hold that thought. We're going to go ahead and take our first break. We'll come back momentarily with more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
People always coming up to me and asking, what's your secret? With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to know.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan at nprross.com. Nathan at nprross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
This song, Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free. Take me where I want to be. Big dreams and big dreams. And there are many just like me with big dreams.
Back. to more of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross. And I'm joined today by a cybersecurity expert. His name is Wen Nguyen. That's correct. The last name is the same as the first name. And Wen Nguyen is somebody I've known since roughly, I think, 1982, 83. I don't remember. I've spent a lot of money with Wen Nguyen over the years, and not just on computers. He had a Shar Pei puppy the first time I saw him, and I fell for that one. And he was a great, great pet, though. I shouldn't complain, but in any event. Okay, so Wen introduced us to CrowdStrike, which is a huge provider of security software. And specifically, he was explaining that the source of the problem that literally brought the world to its knees, quote unquote, originated with that product. So Wen, now that we're caught up to where we were before the break, take it away.
So talking about the CrowdStrike, the endpoint, this is not just your mom and pop antivirus. This is powerful and automated, that is so powerful that it served most of the company, like the government and airlines and banking system, you know it.
So like the Delta issue this past week or two was related to this in part?
It's all related in hospital too. And okay. It's affecting a lot of companies around the world. And the scary part is something like this. Imagine you pay the vendor to protect you, but now it is the vendor that bringing you down, basically attacking you instead of protecting you. And this is the new trend. This is the new warfare. The bad guys are learning from this. Okay, and in fact, after it happened, CrowdStrike has a solution. But somebody out there copied the solution and sent it outside and mimic CrowdStrike. So we got two issue with CrowdStrike, and then another issue is you have the bad actors or simulate CrowdStrike and hacking other people. But I don't think the problem has been resolved yet. There's still some remnant out there because the impact of this patch that they apply, so they say, we still don't know the real truth, what happened. Because I'm still puzzling how this kind of low-tech configuration that apply on something like this, this big company. So I'm still, you know, puzzling how it happened.
Huh.
But I tell you, I have never seen this before, but this is a lesson learned for other company. But if you look at backtrack to 2023, there's a lot of company like Fidelity National Financials, and you have MGM, you have Boeing, you have Bank of America, and you have AT&T. AT&T today still have not given us a full story what happened. The impact.
Well,
is
they've
still
got other. They've got other problems, weren't they? I think they were just recently hacked and had a big data breach, right? I mean, just like in the last week or two. Was that AT&T?
Well, actually, it happened last year, and they have around, the impact is, they claim it's only $34 million, but in fact, it's like $74
million. Only $34
million, Only $34 million,
huh?
And they
That's
say...
That's another reason I don't use AT&T, or at least not knowingly. I'm sure there's some backbone or some structure somewhere that...
Well, so what did they say? They also claim that misconfiguration in Microsoft to misconfiguration. And I don't think we know the real truth. I mean, the process of applying configuration is that you have to go through, like, first you have to identify the patch. That's number one, okay? And then you have to do, are you going to acquire the patch acquisitions, or you're going to create something yourself? And then you have to do the testing.
And when you mean create something yourself, you're talking about a company that has that talent in house. You're not talking about the family office where, you know, I'm
exactly, okay. Exactly. So you have to go through the process. So in this case, they say they apply the patch. Okay? Apply the patch and it break. So we still don't know yet. Because they have to go through the communication protocol because their clients are the government as well. And imagine this, like overnight that all your data centers and your airline is already filled, the world felt the impact, not just United States, but around the world. The airline got stuck, all the flights are canceled. And this is just the beginning.
But I want to differentiate something just because I've just thought of something. I'm really not clear now exactly what happened. Was the issue a CrowdStrike mistake, or was it hackers? After the mistake got detected, then the hackers streamed in through that opening. I mean, where's the risk, the true risk, besides just being down for billions of dollars worth of transactions that couldn't happen?
Well, they claimed that they applied the patch. So it's not had nothing to do with Microsoft. Basically, they applied the patch, and the system won't boot.
But Microsoft got a lot of bad publicity because of, was it the Teams product? What
at
product?
The beginning. At yeah. the beginning, because we don't know whose fault. Is it Microsoft or CrowdStrike? But then when we found out, it was like 4 a.m. midnight. I mean, 4 a.m. my time, but it hit Europe already. So we have some customer already complaining, and we already began apply to remove. You actually have to go into and remove the file from the window folders to let allow the system to reboot itself. So we're talking about, and we don't know today, we don't know it yet, the real truth, okay? But think about something like this. Imagine, I'll give you an example, like Tesla. Tesla rely on the cars, right? Like Tesla is the network. Imagine if the hackers applied the patch to Tesla. What happened? When you're driving, you no longer control of a car. And I own a Tesla, so it kind of worry me too, right? So what can we do about it? What is the root? We first have to find the root cause, right? And then we have to evaluate the impact of the service. There's so many things that we can talk about, but the question is, how could it have been prevented, right? How could, is it a hack or is it a misconfiguration? We still need to find out the root cause. And how can we prevent it from happening again? What's the lesson learned? So hopefully that a lot of questions people are asking, a lot of questions, and we can learn from it.
So with respect to Delta and United, people like that, they're getting slammed not just by customers. They've got probably Pete Buttigieg, am I saying that right?
It's a chain reaction.
Right. And, uh-huh. and you know, the government is probably the last group that would be able to unravel things at Delta or United or whatever. They're just upset because it makes them look bad, Secretary of Transportation, right? And yet, you know, if I'm Delta, I'm thinking, well, wait a minute, I'm looking more at the longer term view here. Because you think about all the safety issues when you got, you know, planes up in the air that if their systems aren't being controlled by the correct parties, right? Or maybe it's an FAA issue. You know, their systems are so antiquated. I don't know. Maybe hackers can't get into them because they're not as up to the second as the company stuff.
That's just another topic I don't want to talk about. But see, we are so dependent on the technology. And that's scary.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Right. So
I know.
This, you only see the impact of the transportations. What about the government services, the healthcare, the public safety? There are many more, and it's still piling up. So this is a lesson learned, and not just for CrowdStrike, but for the rest of the company that provides this kind of service. We need to think about it.
Yeah.
Again.
What are the other options these companies have? I mean, I don't know. I mean, you're in that area, that arena. I'm not. But, I mean, is this an opening for a Cisco or some other, you know, enterprise-level security competitor? Or what's the options?
Well, we learn from our competitors, right? And hopefully the CrowdStrike event teach a lot of companies like Microsoft and Symantec and other companies that are going to learn. Focus on the configuration management. That's one of the things that I go and I tell company, you need to focus on. It's number one, is part of the risk. When you do risk assessment, configuration management, you need to focus on. Because what you change can impact the entire world. We live in a world today that not just us, when you change something, it's called supply chains, right?
Yeah.
That impact everybody.
Yeah.
It impact everyone. Hewlett Packard, HPE, Dell, everybody. So it's called third-party risk, right? So you have to put that in mind.
So how does, to bring this back a little bit closer to home, I know in our world, we use Google products. I mean, Gmail, we use Google Workspace version of Gmail, which is the business class. We use Google Sites. We use Google Photos. Again, these are all coming through our Workspace accounts for the most part. But I'm assuming folks like Google are using products like CrowdStrike in part to manage the product we see. But I didn't notice any slip in service from our Google account. So how does that not happen if it's as pervasive as, I mean, does Google use competing products to CrowdStrike, or how would they have avoided, or did we just luck out? I mean,
First of all, Google is a cloud company like any like Microsoft, right? So they have Gmail, they have Google, they have Google Photos and Google Drive, things like that.
Right.
But this happened at the endpoint. This is at your computers.
Huh.
Yeah. So it kind of impacts you some way because it won't boot up. Your system won't boot up. You can't access it.
I see.
Right. So when we're talking about endpoint compared to like what used to be, because we are so dependent, this is called a cloud. And by the way, I want to clarify something. The cloud is basically somebody else's computer. It's not like most people think it's a cloud. A cloud is somebody else's computer.
Right.
Okay? So you depend on them, right? So that's why a lot of companies are hesitate to put their data on the cloud.
Yeah.
This is what happened.
Hey, it's not just that. I look at people like Donald Trump. He doesn't use email. And guess what? He's in a long line of executive CEOs, et cetera. I remember we used to be a reseller for CA, you know, Computer Associates, which at one time was the second largest independent software company in the country, or maybe the world. You know who number one was at that time? Oracle.
Oracle.
This goes way back.
I remember.
This goes way back. Well, CA was notorious for backdating sales agreements, and they were hyper aggressive as you would get up to the end of a quarter, because they were selling, you know, as we call it back then, big iron databases that were, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not millions, for the right size installation. But anyway, the CEO, Charles Wong, never did an email. And so when the SEC showed up after a number of years and charged Wong and his president, he did do email. Well, guess which one went to prison, right? Wasn't Charles Wong, because they had no evidence that he was involved in the massive sales pressure and what they invariably misstated their quarterly results. But, you know, again, there's something to be said. I've questioned many times before I moved into the Mac world, whether I was net ahead or net behind with Windows. Because, you know, you may recall when we were uninstalling and reinstalling Windows, you know, 95, or I can't remember the one before 95. But anyway, it was a stability issue. And they finally got their act together. No, Vista was the real bad version. But
you remember that.
Oh, God. I remember the Microsoft internal engineers got caught on emails or text or something talking about how poorly completed it was. And why were we selling it? Because we knew it had issues, right? And all that came out later. But I finally was able to get over to the Mac in my trade, my industry, CPAs, because there was very few accounting apps or tax apps. And you know, you've already alluded to it. You know how I was able to do that? What came about that caused all of a sudden it was an option? I mean, switching to the Mac. I tried switching to the Mac many times. The cloud. Once we got cloud-based products, browser independent, which we still don't. There's still some apps that I would like to run, but I have to run them out at a server level because they won't run, you know, natively on Mac. But I don't know. It's
you know what we get out from this ordeal, this debacle with CrowdStrike, and what we learn from this. You know what I noticed? If you compare to last year with all the company that impact, the healthcare, the MGM, the Caesar Palace, you know what the common denominator all these companies have in common from last year?
They all run on the cloud?
Well,
beside
beyond
that, beyond
incident response plan. Okay? Most of them, the incident response plan, you know, are not intact. They probably look at once a year. That hopefully you have to look at this almost every day. Have someone look at every day. If something happened.
Oh, it's a moving target.
It's every
crazy.
Minute count. Every minute count. So focus on your incident response plan. What to do, what to do next. Like develop. I used to do work with this company, and they called it Kill Switch.
What's the name of it?
Well, I'm not going to say which company, but the term they use, it's called Kill Switch.
Okay.
So based something happened, you turn off. For example, you have a process where you have a team, you turn off your backup. You disconnect your backup, right? Because bad actor, the first thing they do is compromise your backup.
Yeah.
They hold you ransom, right?
It's crazy.
So I need focus on incident response. So hopefully next time that we have more time, we talk more about security awareness.
I would love to have a discussion about ransomware. I know I've had two clients.
Oh, I can tell
that have
you
been affected.
Yeah, I can tell a lot.
And not big mm-hmm. clients. We're talking like doctor office level clients.
Well,
right?
You know, when people heard the word ransomware, they only think like, "Hey, just a file, go encrypt your file." No, there is a process. There are two types of ransomware. There's the mom and pop, like your neighbor create the file, encrypt your file, right? But the other one called ransomware is like a group of people. Like, I'm not going to name right now, but it's like service called ransomware for service. It's a process.
Oh, the solution is usually tied to the group. It may be the same group that did the breach.
It's the same
thing.
They're selling their service.
Right.
It's like the cloud service, and it's a process. It's like I'll give you real quick how it works. Okay, you have it's called C2. That's a term that we use, C2. You have the first team is to penetrate your network through email, through phishing email, right? And they spend week and reconnaissance your network. Another group, another system is called encryption. That's a key system, right? Where they encrypt your file with a key, right? It's a process. They go to the cloud and with the key to encrypt it. Then another group is called message system. Afterward, they're going to send a message, you need to pay me with cryptocurrency, for example.
Yeah.
Sorry. And it all go through somewhere in the dark net. And like I said, it's a process. It's not just like a simple, like most companies like Colonial Back Pipeline that we learn from. They can encrypt it, right?
Now, is that at the desktop level? Like we were talking yesterday about getting a...
No, well,
hardware encryption device.
Well, some like there's like I said, there's two. When we have time, I'll talk to you more about ransomware, like the type of ransomware. But the one I'm talking about that encrypt the big company is a more like a process. It's called a C2 infrastructure, right? So they have three. The system of three, but those are the ones that are more dangerous because they can encrypt your entire files, right? And today we have technology that, well, let's just say we have 70% of the key, but that's the other 30%, right?
Yeah. Well, and, you know, again, bringing it back to local level and like in small company situations, the key that we were talking about yesterday, you know, the USB type system, does that protect against what happened in CrowdStrike, or is that not relevant?
No, that has nothing to do. The CrowdStrike is unique because this is our vendor that's supposed to protect us. And they're the one.
So they had quote keys to come on into the room and
Exactly.
They tripped and fell on the way in, basically, right? Mm-hmm.
Exactly. This is low-tech configurations. Huh. I mean,
isn't that amazing how some of the biggest breaches in history have been low-tech? They really didn't take a genius to figure it out, right?
That tells you something, that sometimes we overlook the obvious, right? We're too focused on the technology. We don't look back how simple it is.
Hey, I'm just texting back and forth with one of my clients that was affected by ransomware, and he said he's good for an anonymous phone call whenever we get in. So maybe next week we can do that. He doesn't want to be identified, obviously, just like none of the big banks do. Look at how the big banks handle these breaches. They don't talk about it.
No.
They don't want people to know, hackers to know that, hey, this is what worked for another group, right?
Exactly. And also liability, too. Right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, okay, well, we're past our break time. Let's go ahead and take our next break, and we will circle back momentarily with more of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost, and I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. Grindstones and rhinestones have made up my life, but I shine like a diamond through sacrifice. I was gonna be rich no matter how much it cost. I was gonna win no matter how much I lost. But I hope life will tell me, well done, my child. You've won your reward through your sacrifice. Your
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner Show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make it.
Okay, welcome back to the last segment of the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, and my guest this week, Mr. Win Win, cybersecurity expert. And we've been talking about CrowdStrike and some collateral, shouldn't use the word collateral damage, but it is, literally. But in any event, when how do we keep this from, and I say we were fortunate that it was tangential to our systems, but how do we prevent this, or was there something still about configuration? I think that's where we broke up or went to break that you were wanting to discuss.
We don't know the real impact until we have the full story, but
is this going to be like President Trump's would-be assassination? It's going to take 60 days to get that report? Or how many days does the cyber security industry?
I don't know how you compare that, but but here's the thing, that the because the company with this kind of impact.
Nobody wants to talk, do they?
No, because.
And if you figure it out, you've got something to market to users, right?
If you look at the impact, okay, the reputation and the trust, the financial impact, the regulation and the legal repercussion, they're not going to say anything because anything they say.
I mean, this could take a crap. I mean, I don't know what kind of insurance they have, and they've probably got a big stop loss policy, but this could put somebody like CrowdStrike out of business.
Well, I tell you one thing, though. One thing for certain. Operation review and overhaul is going to happen.
Yeah.
It's going to happen, and it will impact.
Oh, I'm sure there's a group within the U.S. government apparatus that's going to be like reviewing. Well, like the FAA reviews every plane crash.
It's
you know, they want to know
eyes.
What happened.
It's the open. Imagine this. Okay, this is just a single code today is more powerful than the nuclear weapons. A single code can bring down the entire world.
Right.
Right.
I mean, we're
this is scary.
Terrorists wouldn't have to fire one bullet.
No. They can attack it 12,000 miles away.
Right.
With a single line of code.
Tell me this. Is there any worry that this happened from within intentionally, or has that been ruled out given all the different security hurdles?
I give you a scenario. Let's just say it is configuration, right? And you think, okay, it's the bad configuration, apply the patch. What happened if the hacker inside applied that patch? Huh.
Right. And maybe left a few other doors open or loose.
Maybe they have to hack the inside intentionally apply those patch.
And they're watching to see the reaction within the
They are learning from it. And
and
hopefully when down the line, then we can talk more about that because I have other, if you like conspiracy theory, but many things we can talk about.
Yeah. Well, how do we keep this from happening again other than I don't know. What do you get? Multiple patches and
you just got to have like a process. Create a process like patching. Right now, every time you apply the patch, number one, first you got to have like you don't just apply the patch. You have to go through development, then quality control, then user experience, then you apply to production. If something happened, you go back to quality control and go to develop. It's a process.
But at
you
the local level on my systems, I'm way past that point.
Well,
I have to believe that, hey.
They don't attack individual.
Yeah.
Think about this. Back then, they attack individual.
It's not
right?
like ransomware. Huh?
Right. Because it's a waste of time. They attack your provider.
Uh-huh.
That more impact. That's millions of people.
And so how does the hacker, or not, let's assume this had nothing to do with hackers on the one hand. Who makes money off this? What's the incentive? If this was intentional.
If it's intentional, imagine you knock out your competitors.
Okay. But how do you limit it to just you keep your own backups and then start reapplying?
This had nothing. So the backup only helped you to restore, right? But this is an instant configuration, a single file. We are so dependent on technology. We cannot survive, 5 days. Okay, 5 days. Imagine everything. Imagine, I'll give you a scenario.
I'm surprised it could be that long with a lot of the government
operations. It's still going on right now.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to fix this thing, right? You have to go to that machine and delete the file.
Individual machine.
And imagine.
On a network.
Imagine a soldier somewhere in a battlefield.
Yeah, because there's a lot
them?
Of networks.
There's a lot of
networks.
Right,
yeah,
right.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy that we've actually... I don't want to say devolved, but it's amazing with all the sophisticated battle gear that our soldiers have that it's hanging by a thread, literally by a thread in terms of...
Next time, I want to talk about that,
uh-huh.
that the new warfare that's changing, the cyber warfare changing everything. And it's not something that happened just now. It's already happened since 2014.
Yeah.
Okay.
8 minutes.
So,
well, it's all intriguing, and I guess it's more intriguing since I'm sitting here without having been, I don't feel like I've been brought to my knees, although I probably was closer than we realized. It just wasn't on our, and this may be another reason to run Mac OS, right?
Well, today, well, it's just a matter of time, right? So like I said, the new, they're not going to attack you individually. They're going to attack your provider, right? Today, cybersecurity is not an option. It's fundamental.
Right? Yeah,
practice make perfect.
I remember back in the day when we were doing a lot of mid-market accounting software support, you know, there were a lot of, well, there weren't a lot, but there were significantly different levels in things like firewalls, you know, and we always opted for the higher, well, higher end for our level of company. I mean, Cisco type stuff. But, you know, I guess today a lot of that, or most of that's handled up channel from where we're sitting in front of a computer, right?
I'll give you one example. Compare what today, what we have compared to in the past. Like, remember when I first built your network for you, like 20 years ago? You have external, which is outside the internet, internal, then you have the DMZ and you have the external network, right? Simple, 3-4 perimeters, right?
Yeah.
Today, perimeters everywhere. Your iPad, iPhone, that's your perimeter.
That's true.
Right?
You think
so
about it.
So if you're asking me, when it comes to internet security, okay, complexity is the greatest enemy. Complexity. Okay. And the hacker know that. The bad guys know that.
Yeah.
Right? So you want my advice? Here's my advice for everybody. Okay. The best way to protect yourself is through constant vigilance and take a healthy dose of skepticism.
Yeah.
Don't believe everything you hear online. Stop clicking on the link. We'll delve more next time, and I can show you the list of things that we can do.
Don't forget, let's talk about how do we protect ourselves from clicking links. I don't click links. I'll tell you right now, if I get an email, it's got an attachment, I don't know the person, I don't click it. And there's been times when somebody that I knew, but I didn't know that email address, but they were like a client or a vendor or whatever, they send me something under a name or an email account that I don't know. And then they say, well, did you get that email I sent you? And I said, I don't know. Did I? You tell me. And where did it come from? And I just don't do it. There's nothing good that can happen out of you. I don't care how bad you want to open the Christmas present. I mean, that's what it seems like it's like, you know. Just resist the urge. If it's important, they'll circle back to you. I'll promise. They'll come back to you. But anyway.
Last but not least, okay, don't let the price of convenience, the price of convenience should never be your security.
That hurts.
Right. Convenient, because.
Because that's what we're all reaching
for. Because if I'm a hacker, I'm playing with your mind. I'm playing with your behavior, right?
You know I want to open the Christmas present.
Exactly. And a lot of people look at the email today and say, you know what I'm going to look for is a misspelling on the email.
Right.
Today they use AI. They don't use a person on the computer anymore. They use AI to generate thousands and thousands of emails.
Candy.
Yep.
The candy.
So don't rely on the thing in the past. You know, you had to be vigilant all the time. If it's skeptical, if anybody... You're not going to win the lotto, okay? Someone promised you or the prince of, well.
So I was just checking email while we were talking. I got an email from some group called Phil, F-I-L-L. And I don't know, some of the listeners may be saying, oh, yeah, that's from XYZ Pharmacies, what that is. It says I've got a receipt for... not a major amount of money, but and then it's got two attachments. I wouldn't open something like this, because how many times have you gotten the notice of shipment and we've hit your card for this and they need you to call them? It's like, why would you need me to call you if it was something I ordered and you've fulfilled it, right? But anyway, we can talk about email, because you had some good ideas yesterday when it comes to tightening your locks on your doors, so to speak. But
So the next time we can talk about like a stronger password and dual factor authentications. That's a hot token.
Right? Yeah.
Just like
it's one way. It's, right?
It's, mm-hmm. It's just like when you you go online to bank to your bank and you input your password and they ask for your code.
Yeah.
That's a two factor authentication.
Yeah, OTPs. Uh-huh. One time codes.
Yep.
What about what was I just getting ready to say? I was thinking about not so much the code. Well, like the RSA security devices.
Yeah,
that's like a automated OTP, right?
That's the hardware. That's the most secure MFA, multi-factor authentication.
Well, I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's by law, all U.S. banks now have to provide that, right? I know mine does.
Right, right.
So,
and if you have Microsoft Azure or 365,
uh-huh.
July, they just enforce it, whether you like it or not.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Huh. They enforce it.
Yeah.
Dual factor authentication.
Yeah.
And either your phone or your the app that you have to download to authenticate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and actually, it can save time later in terms of proving who you are. I know I've had some situations when I'm overseas where my account gets blocked because they pick up a Thailand IP address, which that must be a really bad problem for users from Southeast Asia, because man, I can't get on things like HomeDepot.com unless I'm going through an Express VPN connection or something, you know, like that.
That's another thing too. We can talk about the VPN. When you do transaction online, use the VPN, and we can dive into more.
I would like, and just give you a little heads up, maybe you can, and you may know a quick answer, but we've got about a minute left. In Apple's configurations, there's a VPN option, and there's no way I can't find. I haven't searched for it. I'm just telling you, experimenting. You can't turn it off. When you turn it off, 2 seconds later, it comes back on automatically.
You talk about your iPhone?
Yeah, iPhone, iPad, et cetera. Now, that's not the same as the Express VPN app that I run collaterally. What is that?
You have to be careful. Apple has built in the VPN.
Okay, let's do this. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready to get a cutoff, hard cutoff. Save that point. Let's pick up next time. I want to hear that answer, sure. And I suspect I've got listeners that will agree. Listen, thanks for tuning in today. We hope you enjoyed this little detour, I guess you might say, on content. I don't think it's that material of a detour, because I think these issues affect most all of us. But I will end by saying, hey, if you want to work with us or if you want to work with WinWin, give me a call, 713-581-0195, or send a text to that same number. We'll be back this coming Thursday at 2 p.m. Here on AM 700 KSEV. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.